Hey, thanks for joining us here at Life Church. We are one church meeting in multiple locations with a mission of leading people to become fully devoted followers of Christ. If you've been around Life Church for any amount of time, you likely know that July is the time for our annual hit summer series called At the Movies, where we take popular movies and pull biblical truth right out of them. Now, the thing is that these messages are available exclusively at all of our Life Church locations and at Church Online. So if you want to check them out, be sure to attend a Life Church location that's closest to you or one of the many experiences we have happening throughout the week at Church Online. For the rest of you tuning in on the Life Church app, our website, or any other Life Church platform, we have yet another episode of the Craig Rochelle Leadership Podcast here for you today, where Craig will be teaching us how to embrace change. You know, the biggest threat to our future success is actually our current success. And if we want to lead well as leaders, we have to embrace change.
Well, thank you again for joining us for another episode of the Leadership Podcast. I'm crazy grateful for all of you all who are sharing on social media. Also, leaving a review makes a big difference. And so thank you for helping us get the word out. If you're new with us, you can subscribe on iTunes. You can watch on YouTube. And also, like if you're driving in your car and you don't want to take notes, that's what I always try to do when I'm listening to podcasts, you can go to life.church/leadershippodcast. And there's a summary of the notes available there for you. If you have questions, comments, thoughts, suggestions, if you want to communicate, just send any kind of communication to leadership@life.church. And what I like to do is answer some of the questions that come in. Then we'll do a little teaching today. We'll talk about embracing change. Then at the end of the time, we'll have a little summary and I'll give you some application questions because truth without application is dead. We want to apply it to our lives. And then I want to tell you in the September broadcast, I'm going to talk about what has by far been the most commonly asked question. I bet you we've gotten this 40 or 50 times. People have asked some version of this. How do I lead up? How do I influence my boss? How do I help make changes in the organization if I'm not in charge? And on and on and on and on. So we will cover that subject coming up soon. Let's dive into a couple of questions that came from you all. Dallas asked this. He asked, how do you keep an organization from losing morale if you set a big goal and your team doesn't reach that goal? How do you keep them from losing morale if you don't reach your goal? It's a good question. Jim Collins taught about what he called the BHAG, B-H-A-G, stands for the Big Hairy Audacious Goal. Those are great. I love Collins' work, but we do not want to overuse those because they take so long to achieve. They can actually be risky. What we want to do is we want to make sure that we're setting the right type of goals. And the thing I always like to try to work on in my own life and leadership is to try to set more input goals than outcome goals. I want to set input goals instead of outcome goals. The reason is because we generally cannot control most outcomes, but we can control the input. For example, if I say I want to lose 20 pounds, that's an outcome goal. If I want to say I'm going to stop eating bread and sweets and I'm going to exercise 4 days a week, that's an input goal. So I can control the input. I cannot necessarily control the outcome. So that's one thing to make sure we're setting the right types of goals. Then if we have a goal and we don't reach it, but maybe we're kind of close to it, as a leader, what we want to do is we want to maximize the positive by saying, you know, look how much more we accomplished by setting this goal and still try to turn it into a win. Assuming that the goal was good, a good goal, and assuming that it was doable and yet we failed, maybe we failed, fell way short, then as a leader, we've really got two options and you might consider one or, of these or maybe a combination. And this is kind of what we do. Number one is we might at some level or completely own it as the leader. If we miss a goal, it might be, we might say, well, you know, that obviously wasn't the best goal and it's my fault, or I didn't lead properly, and you own it, or you own all of it, or you certainly own some of it. And then kind of another strategy that we want to do is at some point, we might want to let the team feel it. If we did lead well, if it was a good goal and the team just didn't execute, we want to go ahead and let the team feel it because losing helps motivate you to win at times. And so we don't want to cover it up and just pretend like, you know, we didn't actually, you know, who cares? We want to go ahead and let the team feel it. Okay, Trent asked this question. He said, referring to the teaching on institutionalizing urgency, he said, I agree that a sense of urgency is important to success. But at what point, if there even is a clearly defined point, does the sense of urgency cause excessive stress or unhappiness, which is harmful to productivity? Is there ever a time when too much urgency makes us stressed or unhealthy? It's a good question. And Trent, I'm not sure if you're asking this about yourself or about the team that you lead or both, and so I'm gonna answer it from both perspectives. If you're asking about those you lead, here's some thoughts. You can push your team too hard, and if you're winning but not stopping to celebrate or show appreciation, then the wins can lose some of the impact, so that's important to note. If you're always pushing and never having fun, if you're not enjoying the ride, then you could end up being counterproductive over time. If you're always driving and never analyzing, you may go fast but end up at the wrong spot. So you have to stop to make sure that what you're doing is right. You may be winning at the wrong things, and it's important to analyze as you go. And then if you don't keep the why front and center, the what becomes meaningless. So the answer is yes, you can push too hard if you don't keep things in perspective. Now, if you're talking about yourself, in other words, can I push myself too hard to where I get stressed out or I become unproductive? Again, the answer is yes. And I want to kind of rabbit trail for a second. And this is, I think, really important as a leader, is you want to learn to measure what drives your personal peak performance. That's just a phrase I made up or read somewhere. But it's you want to learn to measure what drives your personal peak performance, your personal peak performance. Because sometimes you're really at your best on your game. Other times you're just not driving it like you know you could. And so I want to analyze in my own leadership and daily routines, I want to analyze these things. Under what circumstances do I bring my best? And under what circumstances do I underperform my potential? Let me say it again. Under what circumstances do I bring my best? And under what circumstances am I underperforming my potential? And you're the only one that can answer this. When I look at me, Craig Rochelle, this is what I say based on my analyzation of how I perform. Whenever I have a slow week, in other words, I don't have a whole lot going, I feel under-challenged, I have a lack of focus, I might be overly relaxed, and I'm not very productive. This is me. When my week is beyond slammed, I'm overscheduled, I panic, I don't sleep well, I get irritable, I lose productivity. And so this is me. When I have more to do than what's easy, okay, what does that do? That energizes me. I'm on point, I'm prayerful, I'm focused, I'm driven, I'm passionate. Okay, that level, slightly more than what's most people would say is doable, that drives me. That drives my peak performance. And what I do in my own life is I journal and I find patterns during what time of the week, what time of the day, what time of the year, where do I do my best? And I found yearly patterns, weekly patterns, and daily patterns that help me plan and prepare. So the goal is, good question, Trent, for yourself, analyze what drives your personal peak performance and then dive in and maximize that. So let's talk about the big subject for today. We're going to do part one in this episode. We're going to do part two in the upcoming episode. I want to talk about a big, big, big subject, and that is embracing change. Embracing change. And the title is important to me because we're not managing change. We're not leading to change. Not how do we change? We're embracing change as a part of who we are as leaders in the organization. If you'll remember on the last subject, in the last episode, we talked about the greatest threat to future success. What was it? Do you remember? The greatest threat to future success is current success. It's believing that what we used to do is going to continue to work. It's believing that what we've always done is always going to bring about success. Let me give you an example. In my world, I'm a pastor. For years and years and years, the church lived under the banner of what was known as kind of traditional church. Then kind of maybe in the late 70s, early 80s, certainly in the 90s, there was the emergence of what was known as the contemporary church. Suddenly, you know, instead of pews, you had chairs. Instead of organs, you had drums. Instead of wearing robes or suits, you could wear blue jeans, and instead of a hymnal, you had the words put up on a screen, and you have dramas and videos and all this kind of stuff. And so we had, boom, the birth of the contemporary church. Now, here we are 15, 20 years later, and I'm going to argue that in my world, contemporary is the new traditional, okay? Contemporary is the new traditional. Almost every new church looks the same, and it now you know, drums and blue jeans and all that. That is almost the new traditional. What has been working may not necessarily continue working, and we have to acknowledge that, especially in the world we live in today. Change is happening so much more rapidly that if we just continue to do what was working 15 years ago, then we may lose effectiveness. And this applies to your business, to your family, to any type of leadership. Let me just say it this way. The world is changing faster and faster. If we're not changing constantly, we are falling behind. If we're not changing in our leadership, we are not growing. I like what Tony Robbins said. He said this, change is inevitable. Progress is optional. If you're not ready to embrace change, you are not ready to lead. If you don't, can't, or won't change, you will never be an effective leader. So, one big thought today about embracing change, and we'll do two big thoughts next week. Before we look at the big thought, we have to recognize that not everything is up for change. In my world, the mission is constant, but how we accomplish the mission must change. For example, I live under what Jesus called the Great Commission. He said, go into all the world and preach the gospel. Make disciples. Go into all the world. That is the what. What's interesting is he gave us the what. He gave us the where. He did not give us the how. He didn't tell us how to do that. He gave us the what, but not the how. If you're in sales, you have a quota. That's the what. But you don't have a method for how you hit the quota. You have the what, but not the how. If you're raising your children, you have a what. You want them to be faithful, responsible, be driven, be God-honoring in what they do. But there's a variety of ways to accomplish that goal. And what works for one child may not work for another child. We have to be open to change in the way we do this. So let's talk about the big thought in embracing change. Number one, and this is what we're going to spend our whole time on, is this. We need to change how we think about change. Number one, change how you think about change. Change how you think about change. In the book called The Flight of the Buffalo, there's a quote that I like, and the authors say this. It's, you got to concentrate to get it. They say, change is hard because people overestimate the value of what they have and underestimate the value of what they may gain by giving that up. Let me say it again. They say, change is hard because people overestimate the value of what they have and underestimate the value of what they may gain by giving that up. I want to change the way I think about change. And instead of saying what most people believe, people resist change. People hate change. No. That's not true. People don't hate change. Think about it. They want new jobs. They want new homes. They want new cars. They like wearing new outfits. They like going to new places, eating new kinds of food, changing their hairstyle. People don't hate change. They hate the way we try to change them. Okay, let me say that again. People don't hate change. They hate the way we try to change them. Think about it. People ask for help to change. They'll hire a trainer. They'll take a class. They'll read a book. They'll ask friends about a certain kind of diet. People do not hate change. They hate the way we try to change them. So we want to change the way we think about change. And when we do as leaders, this will change how we try to help others change. Now, we talked about this briefly before, but when do people change? There's only two times when people change. Number one, they change when they have to. And number two, they change when they want to. When do people change? When they have to or when they want to? When does someone lose weight? Well, when they have to, your doctor says you're in big trouble, or when you say, hey, I want to do this. When does someone stop smoking? You're gonna die if you don't stop smoking. Whenever they have to, or when they say, hey, I'm sick of this, and they decide they want to. When does someone put more into their work or into their leadership? Well, you have to, we're gonna fire you if you don't, or hey, I want to improve as leaders. So what we wanna do as leaders is we wanna help our teams want to change. Okay, that sounds simple, but we need to start there. We want to create a desire in our teams to want to change, to want to move forward. How do we do that? Again, we've talked about this, we'll talk about it many times. We're gonna lead with the why before the what. We're gonna lead with the why before the what. My favorite story about this, years and years ago, when I first started out as a young pastor, I was probably 23 years of age, and I served at First United Methodist Church. I finally got a bunch of kind of young people to come to church on the weekend. That was something that was really rare. And they came in and they tried to sit on the front row. Actually, it was the second row. And there was a lady there. Her name was Fern Fisher. And that was Fern's seat. So when they sat in Fern's seat, Fern, who was about 4'8", walked up and just kind of put her little hand on their shoulders and like, this is my seat. You know, and she like literally this little bitty tiny lady scared these guys, and they were so upset, so offended, so hurt, like we're never going to come back to church. And I was devastated. Like I worked so hard, so long to get somebody to come to church. They finally came. Fern scared them off. Well, what do? Fern is set in her ways. I had a conversation with Fern, and I was talking to her sweet, sweet lady who just didn't want someone in her seat. And so I started talking to her. I said, Fern, do you have any kids? And she told me about them. Do you have any grandkids? And I asked him, I said, where do they stand spiritually? And she started telling me about one of them that was really doing wild stuff, and she was really concerned about him. And I said, would you be excited if he came to church? She's like, oh, yes, 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 yes. And so I just said, Fern, I'll tell you what, I'm going to commit to pray for him, and I'm going to pray and pray and pray. And if he ever came to church, how do you think he would feel if he tried to sit somewhere and someone ran him off? Okay. And the moment I said that, you could just see the look on her face just totally changed, because the kids she ran off were probably about the age of her grandson. And she just totally and completely changed. And I said, I'll tell you what, I'm going to pray for your grandson. And if I get anyone here, would you do your best to show love to them and help them feel welcome? And I mean, everything about Fern changed. In fact, I led a Friday night single adult ministry at First United Methodist Church. And Fern, let me get this, she would come every week, and she would pray over every seat for every person that would be sitting there and stay till the very end. And a lady who was nothing but pure opposition changed and became one of the greatest advocates. When what happened? When we led with the why instead of the what, okay? When we led with the why instead of the what. People don't buy into what you're doing. First, they buy into why you're doing it. Someone said people will work for a what, but they'll give their lives for a why. So we're going to lead with the why. What does the why do? The why speaks to three different groups. It speaks to the bystander, the victim, and the advocate. Okay? Anytime you're leading change, there's going to be a bystander. That's about 80% of the people. They don't even care. Okay? There's the victim. Oh my gosh, you're changing my whatever. Okay? And then there's the advocate, those who are working with you. The why disarms the critics and empowers the advocate. The why disarms the critics and empowers the advocate. Now, people will likely oppose change, but those who oppose are the loudest, but just because they're the loudest does not mean they're the most. It's usually 10% or fewer that are in opposition. So what we want to do is we want to help people understand we cannot stay here. This is why staying here will not work. We must go there. Never assume that people understand the why. So here's what we're going to have. When we lead with change, there might be some conflict, but there's growth on the other side of it. If we're not changing, we're not growing. When we're leading change, one thing that you can often do is say, we're experimenting. We're going to try this for 30 days or 60 days or 2 weeks or whatever. Because people don't know how good the new is until they let go of the old. Sometimes we just have to give them permission to try something different so that they'll like it. They overestimate the value of what they have. They underestimate the value of what they could achieve if they're willing to let go of the old. People don't know how good the new is until they let go of the old. So we may use an experiment in order to bring them there. So as leaders, we're going to embrace change as a part of who we are. As leaders, we embrace change as a part of who we are. How do we do this? I like to talk about in my own life and leadership what I call consistent variety or constant variety. And as I'm leading toward change, I want to be constant and varied in what I do. Think about this. When I work out, I want constant variety or consistent variety. In other words, I want to exercise the same muscles, but I want to shock them with different types of exercises. One day I might do 20 reps of a lower weight. The next day I might work my way up to 3 reps of a higher weight. Constant variety. In reading the Bible, I read through the Bible every year, but I do different reading plans. I do different versions. Constant variety. In encouraging my kids, I want to consistently encourage them, but I want to do it with variety. The books I read, I'm always going to read, but I'm going to read a different type of book. Showing my love for Amy, I'm always going to show love for her, but I want to do it in a different way or it's going to get old and predictable. So when we change the way we think about change, we like change. We embrace change. Change is fun. Change helps bring growth. Change how you think about change. So you might be asking, how do I change the culture of my business? How do I change the culture of this church? How do I change my organization? Okay, just by asking those questions, we're assuming that change is difficult, change is hard. We want to embrace change as a part of who we are. It's like, I get to change my organization. We have the opportunity to make improvements. We can move forward. So quick review. We're going to change how we think about change. The common belief is that people resist change. People hate change. But we understand as leaders, that's not true. People don't hate change. They don't like the way we try to change them. The two times people will change is when they have to and when they want to. So as leaders, we're going to try to lead others to want to change. How do we do that? We lead with the why before the what. Because people don't buy into what we're doing, they buy into why we are doing it. People will work for a what, they'll give their lives for a why. So as leaders, we embrace change as a part of who we are. Next week, we're going to take this deeper in our next episode and talk about two other thoughts of application. The questions for this week, there are two. Question number one for you to address as a leader. Number one, what is one thing you need to change to grow as a leader? What is one thing? Be specific. Be a better listener. Run meetings more efficiently. Encourage others. Cast vision. Learn to read a spreadsheet and analyze the data. Grow in your confidence, whatever it is. Pick one thing, one thing, one thing. One thing you need to change to grow as a leader. Question number two, what specific actions will you take this week to stretch yourself, to empower change, and create growth? Listen carefully. What specific actions will you take this week to stretch yourself, to empower change, and create growth? Be specific. If you don't define it, you won't do it. Let me say it again. If you don't define it, you won't do it. So be sure and subscribe if you'd like to get these sent directly to you. We'll release episodes the first Thursday of every month. Next month, we're going to do part two of Embracing Change, and then we're going to talk about how do we lead up. Have fun. Changing is fun. Growth is fun. And as a leader, remember, always be yourself. People would rather follow a leader who's always real than one who's always right.
Thanks again for hanging out with us here at Life Church. Now, as you heard and as Craig mentioned, this is part one of a two-part teaching. If you want to see the next episode or any previous episode of the Craig Rochelle Leadership Podcast, all you got to do is head over to the website life.church/leadership podcast. You can also find additional resources, show notes, or sign up to have all of it sent directly to your email. Now, as you also heard, Craig loves getting your comments, feedback, and questions for him to answer in upcoming episodes. If you have a question you'd like to hear answered, all you have to do is send us an email to leadership@life.church. Again, thanks again for joining us here at Life Church. We'll see you again next week.